Speaker, I rise in opposition to this resolution. And I want to say something. My Republican colleagues are pushing a narrative that student debt relief is unfair. And to my colleagues, I agree with you. I agree that what's going on is unfair. Folks who paid off their debt, the fact that they had to have it in the first place is unfair. The fact that students still have to take out crushing student debt just to get a college education, that is unfair. And if we legislated using the logic that you bring to this issue here today, women and black folks wouldn't have the right to vote because it would be unfair to those who never got to vote before them. See, if we legislated using your logic, that because there was an injustice, we can't fix it because it's unfair to those who never had it fixed, means we would never progress on any issue in this country. Why do you bring that bigoted logic to this issue as it relates to students, but not any other issue?
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
So, I'm running a little low energy this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my best. So if I don't sound yippee-yay-ha, happy-go-lucky like normal, everything will be okay when it's okay. In the meantime, we got some good news this week. We got some bad news this week. We've got news of all particular kinds and flavors.
All the flavors of the rainbow.
Yeah, the first one being Taylor didn't make it today. I think, according to her Instagram, she's in Moab. Maybe. She might be back. So, I will...
She's wandered to the desert.
Yeah. Good time. Recharge your batteries. Get your shit together. Mm-hmm. Get your head on straight. Yep. Stuff like that.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, everybody needs from time to time. You know who really needs it? Donald Trump. He could use some reflection, some time for quiet reflection without a cell phone. Somebody should take away his cell phone. This is what I'm thinking. But special counsel Jack Smith returned an historic indictment against former President Donald Trump just a couple of days ago. This is the first time that a former president has ever been charged with crimes in a federal court. Trump faces,
That would make it a felony, wouldn't it?
Pretty sure, yeah. Federal felony. Yeah, he faces a total of 37 counts, including 31 counts of willful retention of national defense information. His aide, Walt Nauta, faces 6 counts, including several obstruction and concealment-related charges stemming from the alleged conduct. Jack Smith did a little press conference in D.C. on Friday saying, "We have one set of laws in this country and they apply to everyone applying those laws. Collecting facts, that's what determines the outcome of an investigation. Nothing more and nothing less." It was a 49-page indictment that had a bunch of new details on how Trump and the gang took classified documents to Mar-a-Lago after leaving the White House in 2021, and then resisting the government's efforts to attempt to retrieve the classified materials over the course of a year and a half. In his statement, Smith encouraged the public to read the indictment, the 50 pages, in full to understand the scope and the gravity of the crimes charged. So basically, he told a bunch of mouth-breathing Nazi illiterates to read something. So that'll work.
That'll go over well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're right on it.
Right now, they just believe Trump saying he's an innocent man and it's a witch hunt.
Yep.
He's an innocent man. He did not break the law. He fucking signed.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this. You signed this law, Donnie. You would have been fine without it.
That's been the joy of watching cable news this morning. Mm-hmm. And by joy, I mean, oh, we're doing this some more. I mean, I get it. But when you watch the news like I do, you get to see the same thing over and over from hour to hour. But this would be the montage of 2015-2016 speeches he gave about classified documents, the importance of maintaining those classifications and et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you go back to, which is what they keep doing, you go back to the Hillary Clinton thing, and basically what we have from what we understand, do I think the 36,000 emails should have been deleted? Absolutely, I do not.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do not. I've always found that to be not only annoying, but just kind of ammo for the water pistol that the Republicans use to insipidly drip, drip, drip. And it doesn't matter that she's been investigated by the Republicans, no less.
Right.
Several times between the server and Benghazi. She did, she did an 11-hour interview with a House committee.
But none of that was to actually find wrongdoing. It was to malign her character because they knew she was going to run for president.
Right.
That was the whole reason why they did it. It's why they're trying to drag Hunter Biden through the mud right now, is because it maligns Joe Biden's character, and they've won before with this bullshit, and they'll win again with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the obstruction charges show the separation of Trump from Pence and Biden because of the behavior, first and foremost, of both Biden and Pence.
Yeah.
To go, oh, shit, here they are. Have them back. Not only that, why don't you guys come and take a look around and make sure we didn't miss anything?
Yeah, make sure I didn't leave something in a book or something. Come check it. Yeah.
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 But
because that's, you know, how a guilty man behaves as opposed to an innocent man who says, should we just tell him we don't have any?
Yep. Yep. Trump, made the following statements, among others. One, I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes. Number two. Well, what happens if we just don't respond at all or don't play ball with them? Number three, wouldn't it be better if we just told them we didn't have anything here? Number four, well, look, it's better if there are no documents.
Yep.
After his attorney collected 38 records that would be turned over to the DOG, the attorney discussed with Trump storing them in his hotel room. Trump, during the back and forth, made a plucking motion. The indictment said, which the attorney memorializes, meaning, why don't you take them with you to your hotel room, and if there's anything really bad in there, you know, like, pluck it out. He showed classified documents to other people on at least two occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Yeah. Yeah. They were foreign nationals, too, that he showed them to.
Yep. Trump also said, as president, I could have declassified it, and now I can't, you know, but this is still a secret. That was when he was sitting around with a bunch of people that were working, I believe, from Mark Meadows when he was working on his biography of his time with the Trump years, and Trump was showing off because somebody was, I guess, talking about somebody else instead of him, probably. You know. According to prosecutors, Trump also showed a document at Bedminster to a representative of his PAC, classified map related to a military operation, told the representative that he should not be showing it to the representative and that the representative should not get too close.
Don't get too close. This is classified.
Yep. The documents were extraordinarily sensitive. The indictment says that Trump retained documents related to national defense that were classified at the highest levels. Some so sensitive they require special handling, like the ones mm-hmm. that needed to stay in a spiff.
Yep.
You know, one of the interesting things I saw, and I saw it somewhere else, was one of the reasons why you had that picture of the documents on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Classified documents, the color of the folder front it basically says what they are. So
right.
You could tell at a quick glance the level of top secret said document is.
Mm-hmm.
Those colors, when put together, originally go all the way to the edges. When you take a document with color that goes all the way to the edges, any graphic designer will tell you, and you throw it mm-hmm. on a copier, you get white borders.
Right.
Because standard copiers and printers and whatever don't do, bleed cutoffs.
Right.
And so if you look at that picture again of the documents on the floor, you see they were all copies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not good.
Well, not if they were supposed to stay in the spiff. You're not supposed to photocopy them either. Yeah.
Yep. Let's see. Reading from the document, the classified documents Trump stored in his boxes included information regarding defense and weapons capabilities of both the United States and foreign countries. The United States nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of the United States and its allies to military attack, and plans for possible retaliation in response to a foreign attack. The unauthorized disclosure of these classified documents could put at risk the national security of the United States, foreign relations, the safety of the United States military, human intel sources, and the continued viability of sensitive intelligent collection methods.
Mm-hmm.
Going on with the document, the Mar-a-Lago Club is an active social club which, between January 2021 and August 2022, hosted events for tens of thousands of members. After Trump's presidency, the Mar-a-Lago Club was not an authorized location for storage, possession, review, display, or discussion of classified documents. Nevertheless, Trump stored his boxes containing classified documents in various locations at the Mar-a-Lago Club, including in a ballroom, a bathroom, and a shower, an office space, his bedroom, and a storage room. Picture after picture of where these documents were stacked.
Yep.
So he wasn't charged over classified documents that he turned over voluntarily. Within the 31 documents, the indictment describes as underlying 31 counts of willful retention of national defense info. The indictment also lists when those documents were recovered by the government. 21 were retrieved on August 8th, 2022, the date of the FBI's search of Mar-a-Lago. 10 were retrieved on June 3rd, 2022, when Trump and his lawyer, Evan Cochran, turned those over. 10 in response to the subpoena. But it is notable that the indictment does not include any documents retrieved in January 2022, given that Trump and his allies in Congress have attacked the Justice Department for not charging Biden or others who had unauthorized classified documents in their possession. The difference, of course, is that Biden and Pence immediately contacted the National Archives and offered to return the documents, while prosecutors allege that Trump obstructed efforts to retrieve classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Pretty simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Awfully simple stuff. Let's see. Sorry, caught an ad there. But yeah, the 49-page indictment against Trump was unsealed. It's damning. Accusing the one-term president of storing classified documents in very unsafe locations. One of the things that none of the articles are bringing up is the fact that the security cameras and the security apparatus that they used for Mar-a-Lago, mm-hmm. that room flooded, destroying hard drives. When someone drained the pool incorrectly, I'm sure it was an accident.
I'm sure it was an accident.
And flooded the server room. That's nuts.
such a weird accident. That's so weird that that happened here. That never happens here. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been watching the news. The silence of many Republicans about this is slightly less damning than the noise that a handful of them are making. You got guys on the Twitter calling for open warfare. You know, civil war, murder, assassination. It's nuts. That's just coming from fucking the House of Representatives in D.C.
It is hard for me to believe that we are going to fight our second civil war over a grifter who got wealthy in real estate, has lost more money than anybody, and has basically conned and lied to the American people his whole fucking life. And we're about to have a fucking literal civil war over this motherfucker.
Yep.
At least the first civil war had a noble purpose.
States' rights. The end of slavery,
you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, end of slavery.
Yeah, states' rights. But yeah, the right to do what, though?
I mean, yeah. That really is the follow-up question, not to go off on your... I'm joining your tangent. It was... They're like, no, it's just states' rights. And the states' rights they wanted was the right to collect humans.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I actually got nuts. To use that on a commenter one day on Facebook who was like, no, the Civil War was about states' rights. And I commented, the right to do what? No, seriously, the right to do what?
Yep.
Go ahead and check all of your... you know, Republican newsletter feeds to tell me what the right was, but you tell me what the right to do, what was the right that they were seeking to keep. He shut up after that, oddly.
Yeah, so, weird, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, weird.
Yep. 2 dozen Secret Service agents have been subpoenaed or have appeared before a federal grand jury in D.C. It's looking into Trump's handling of classified documents. The sources said that prosecutors have interviewed the agents assigned to Trump's security detail at the Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, about 24 of whom have been asked to testify before the grand jury. All of them complied.
Yes.
This testimony has occurred in just the past few months, meaning not recently, since the grand jury has been on hiatus. They are routinely counseled, they are told. They are routinely counseled that they are law enforcement officers first and foremost and not the president's private security guards, said a source familiar with the agent's testimony. Special counsel Jack Smith has been investigating Trump's handling of classified documents and other materials after federal agents retrieved thousands of government documents from Mar-a-Lago in August. The involvement of more than 20 Secret Service agents was first reported last week by the New York Times. It's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely nuts. Nuts. All right, let's take a quick break. We get back on the other side. Some of that weird news.
Yeah.
Not so much. Some good, some bad, mostly odd.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly odd.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And JC.
Just wanted to talk to you for a minute about Patreon. Patreon.com. Patreon.com. That's where we raise the money to put these shows on each and every week. For those of you that weren't paying attention, we didn't hit our fundraising goals this year, and so we need your help to keep the shows going.
Please.
Now, more than ever.
Oh.
We don't say that. That's.
I thought we were not being aggressive.
Yeah, that's bad political writing. Is that one right there?
In the arms of angels.
There you go. You do that. So, anyway, every week that we record, we put special content behind a paywall over at patreon.com/defendmedia for you to listen to so that you know deep down inside you're better than everyone else. patreon.com/defendmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Join us over there, will you? It's pennies on the dollar.
Please.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
Michigan Democrats gave further momentum to a drive to elect the president, according to the national popular vote, when they passed a key bill out of committee in the State House on a party line vote last week. Development makes Michigan the third state in recent weeks to take action on this particular topic. Though the measure must receive full approval from the full House, as well as the state Senate, both of which controlled by Democrats, before it can head to the governor's desk for signatures. The bill under consideration would add Michigan's 15 electoral college votes to the national popular vote, interstate compact, under which the member states would collectively award their electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote. I got no problem with this.
This is the best way to beat the fact that they won't kill the Electoral College because Republicans keep winning because of the Electoral College.
Yep.
If they can't win because of the Electoral College, they will not care if we eliminate the Electoral College altogether.
Right.
But it's just a matter of the popular vote and holding to the popular vote. We've had two presidencies that were fucking nightmares in this country where they both lost the popular, where the both of them lost the popular vote.
Wait, can I guess?
Yeah.
Bush 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
This time it's personal.
Yep.
And then it would go with Trump.
Yep. And Donnie.
Yeah. Yep.
Every other time. And the thing is Bush won his second one. He won the popular vote. It was a 51 to 49 win of the popular vote. It was the closest he had ever gotten to being popular. It was by 2%.
Yep.
But he got his popularity by 1%. He got his popularity there. That was in his reelection when he was running against Kerry, and the Swift voting thing basically killed Kerry's candidacy completely.
Yep.
It should not have happened, but it did. What are you going to do? But yeah, he lost the popular vote to Al Gore, and Al Gore was worried he was going to lose the popular vote and win the electoral vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Al Gore thinks about things other people don't think about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, this bill's advancement in Michigan comes just a couple of weeks after Democratic-led drives in Minnesota, which actually enacted the law, and Nevada, which has passed the first part of a multi-year effort that would contribute to the state's 6 electoral votes as well.
The ones we're waiting on are like Pennsylvania. Let's see if we can get Arizona, Wisconsin. I don't know if we can get them or not. But if you can get them when they're a Democrat-run legislature, you can usually get them passed. Is how long they keep that.
Yep.
You know, if the House flips, yeah.
So Democrats are apparently growing concerned that Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s profile is rising. Okay, right there, you could stop right there and go on with the rest of the story. You know,
yeah.
Because RFK Jr. is problematic. He's a fucking nut job.
He is.
You know, he's a paranoid QAnon garbage person.
Mm-hmm.
running on the left for reasons that make absolutely no control considering what his message is.
Right.
But instead, the article goes on. Kennedy's profile is rising just as President Biden embarks on a challenging campaign to keep the White House out of Republican control. Kennedy is an anti-vaccine proponent who launched a primary bid against Biden a couple of months ago and is doing unexpectedly well in some polls and receiving increased media attention as a result. He's also been on a press tour this week that included Twitter Spaces discussion with Elon Musk. That's problematic. Mm-hmm. In a digital town hall with journalist Michael Smirkanish. Smirkanish. That's a name that needs a translator built right into the end of it. Anyway, yeah, he's a fringe candidate.
Totally on the fringe. I mean,
he's on our right fringe.
Yeah. He's only a Democrat in name because of his family.
Yep.
Otherwise, he's pretty much a full on. He would be considered a moderate Republican.
Sorta.
So he could. I mean, obviously, he could join that Freedom Caucus group pretty easily because he's willing to appeal to fear over hope. And that seems to be their way of doing things, is keep everybody afraid and they'll keep voting for us. Yeah.
There is an interesting quote in here from Michael Sarasso, Democratic strategist, former campaign aide to Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. He says, Democrats would be foolish to mock or belittle RFK Jr. Every time we make fun of those who hold fringe positions, we lose.
Mm-hmm.
Democratic Party acting smug never works. Well, he's not wrong.
But I would say it's okay to make fun of them. Just don't take them seriously.
Yeah.
You know, you mocked Donald Trump his entire campaign and you never took, the problem was, is you never took him seriously. If you'd taken him seriously, you would have used that mocking in the targeted way rather than just thinking nobody in the right mind will vote for him.
As much as I see that sentence and I understand what he's saying and how he's trying to say it, because he follows up with anything we do to sass RFK Jr. is just going to make the Republicans stronger. Well, that's because everything that RFK Jr. is saying is horseshit.
Yeah.
Of course it makes their case stronger. They could point at it and go, look, that dipshit believes everything we do.
And he's a Kennedy and not one of the weird Southern Kennedys that we have.
Man, talk about a family tree offshoot that just totally is rotting out from the inside. I don't know. Ann Coulter has a solution, though.
I like Ann Coulter's solution.
Yeah. Mediate quoted a tweet from Charlie Kirk show, and Charlie Kirk pleads with Trump's GOP competition to suspend their campaigns in solidarity with him, which is stupid. And just absolutely stupid. Did Trump have a member of his family pass away the last couple of days? No. Did he lose a beloved pet, of which I believe he's not capable of having? No.
No, he's, you know, having a pet means the attention isn't on him.
Yeah, he's being charged with 37 felony counts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need solidarity.
37 felony counts of a law he signed in 2018.
Yeah. Whereas Ann Coulter pops up and says, that's nothing. I'm calling on every Republican to commit suicide in solidarity with Trump's. Otherwise, we don't have a country, folks.
That's right.
So weird to agree with her. I don't like it.
One thing I wanted to see was like just some Republican follow up with that saying, you show us how, Ann.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's such a missed opportunity for somebody like Mike Lee to jump in and go, well, Ann, why don't you show us how? We'll follow your lead.
Sure. You go first. Show us how it's done.
Exactly.
Anyway, following the news of Trump's indictment on Thursday, Charlie Kirk proposed that every Republican running for president should suspend their campaign and go to Miami as a show of support. I mean, I'd go to Miami. If I got to go to Florida, I mean, what is it? Tampa is where all the strip clubs are, and I don't much care for strip clubs.
Yep.
Where, Orlando is the Disney.
Orlando is Disney World.
So I would totally go to Orlando. And then Miami was on burn notice and looks like fun.
Yep.
You know, if you're looking for, what, cocaine? I don't know. What's in Miami?
Cocaine and gay bars.
Okay. So I,
I don't know how much longer there'll be gay bars there with DeSantis running things, but.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I don't know. Ann Coulter, what do you know? Every once in a while. Cracker Barrel's support of Pride Month has drawn some conservative backlash online.
Oh, my stars.
I know. on Thursday, some Twitter users expressed outrage over the popular Southern chain's embrace of Pride Month after the Texas Family Project, a conservative political advocacy nonprofit organization, posted screen grabs of the chain's statements and initiatives on diversity and inclusion. The Texas Family Project wrote in a tweet, "We take no pleasure in reporting that Cracker Barrel has fallen. A once family-friendly establishment has caved to the mob." We're a mob, by the way.
We're a mob. I didn't know the majority of the country could be considered a mob.
Cracker Barrel did not respond to a request for comment, but a copy of the statement, which is shared by the Texas Family Project, is still on the website. It says, in part, "Our food and decor celebrates warm memories of the past." Look, the only warm memory I have at a Cracker Barrel is a reminder that I have eaten there before. You know what I mean?
That's there and been disappointed before. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, "Our food and decor celebrate warm memories of the past, and our inclusive culture and beliefs help us make the way for an even brighter future together. Decriminalization, overt or through unconscious bias, has no place at Cracker Barrel, Old Country Store." Okay. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discrimination.
I just like how capitalism is going to always try to bring in as many customers as possible. Therefore, you're going to jump on these bandwagons and try to be inclusive and try to say these things. And, you know, despite behavior behind the scenes from your corporate body.
Yeah.
But it's just been hilarious to me that these bastions of conservatives have suddenly become woke, and now they don't want to patronize them.
Yeah. I mean, look, break down the numbers of stuff that we've read before. 80% of Americans polled, regardless of political affiliation, you know, are like, "We're fine with the gays."
Yeah.
They're fine. You know, they're not happy, and deep down inside, they're probably thinking some pretty bigoted shit, but 80% are like, "It's fine. It's fine." So, it's like 2%, give or take, are these loud, fucking right-wing, terrorist watch Nazi types.
Yeah.
You know? And they're making a lot of noise, but they don't have the spending power that the 80% has. Mm-hmm. And certain companies are waking up to that. Bud Light would have been, Anheuser-Busch would have been positioned to grow their already pretty sizable market dominance by just saying, "Sit down and shut up," to the loud people, instead of acquiescing, you know, apologizing for the cool thing they did.
To me, that's giving into the mob.
Do you remember one of the highlights of the big wedding reception we had here a few years ago? I've got the picture still of you and I and Forrest. And I believe Bob Henline, the late Bob Henline, was with us.
Yeah, Henline. I was going to say it wasn't Easton, but yeah, Henline was.
Yeah, it was the four of us with the four Bud Light girls.
Yep. Bud Light girls.
Yep.
at the big gay wedding reception, and there was Bud Light basically there to say, hey, a sales opportunity. Let's send some girls over there.
Yep. And I remember talking to one of them. She's like, no, we usually do sports bars, but this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, they've been around. They've been in the space acting as, you know, two-faced corporate allies for quite a while.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is it going to make me go eat a Cracker Barrel? No.
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 I know what disappointment tastes like, and I don't need to go back.
I mean, so. I've had some good food there. I mean, Cracker Barrel's the reason I love grits so much. I never would have had them if I hadn't gone to Cracker Barrel and ordered them on accident. And
that's
been
fair.
So fucking hungry that I'm like, I don't care what this is. I'm going to eat it anyway. And then was like, oh, this is really good. Because the waitress came by and told me to put butter in them. Mm-hmm. So it was a big day. That was a big important morning. That was a 2004, October 8th, 2004. I had grits for the first time and fell in love with them mm-hmm. as a food. But yeah, among conservatives, much of the outrage was boosted by other large right-wing accounts. Under a tweet by N Wokeness, okay, an account dedicated to fighting, exposing, and mocking wokeness, hundreds of commenters announced they were never joining or never visit Cracker Barrel again. Texas Representative Ronnie Jackson joined in the protest, tweeting, bye-bye Cracker Barrel, I will never, all caps, eat there again.
Okay.
You know, I don't. One Facebook user said, wonderful news. I've avoided Cracker Barrel for as long as I can remember, not knowing if my family was truly welcome. We'll be sure to stop by our local location soon. I'm not going to go, per se. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they didn't waffle like Bud Light did
mm-hmm.
makes me go, maybe next time it comes up as an option, I won't roll my eyes quite as hard. You know, yeah. You're not going to get me back to Chick-fil-A anytime soon just because 2 years ago they hired a guy who has no ability whatsoever to stop the owners and shareholders of Chick-fil-A from spending money not only in the United States to fuck with trans kids, but is fueling the efforts of hate missionaries
mm-hmm.
going over to countries in Africa and making them pass laws. About the death penalty for homosexuality. That's a little too big for me to enjoy a fucking chicken nugget.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We got more news on the other side.
We got great news on the other side.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Ian McGinty and the Iron Sheik. Also, Pat Robertson and Ted Kaczynski died.
Good riddance.
CBS has laid off many of its staff. In moving pictures, Ryan Reynolds and Kenneth Branagh will lead an action-adventure movie called Mayday.
I'm in.
Ghostbusters Afterlife got a poster.
Also in.
You'll only get one episode of Secret Invasion when it premieres. In comics, friend of the show Kelly Thompson is the new writer on the Birds of Prey.
I'm going to read DC probably routinely with this one, you guys.
Yeah.
And Gene Simmons says comics saved his life.
Was this when he was rock and rolling all night?
And partying every day?
Yeah.
All this, and where's our Star Trek movie? Face front, true believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
About the only thing a Star Trek fan will whine about more than not having new content is new content.
This is true.
Let the joyous news be spread, the wicked witch at last is dead.
gibberish. You barely hear it.
Pat Robertson, founder of the 700 Club, is dead.
Woo!
Maybe he'll go into the same lava pool as Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be nice.
Yep. Okay, we're done with the mayor of the Lollipop King. We'll stop there. Mm-hmm. That's a good place to stop. Old. 93 years old. I don't need to at this point, because we're a few days from the event. I don't really need, I think, to break down why Pat Robertson was such a piece of human garbage. But he blamed 9/11 on butt sex.
Yep. Hell, he blamed half the hurricanes on butt sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And that's all. And everybody knows that God put the men's magic button up there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to blow up buildings because of it. He's the one who built the apparatus. It's about time you guys found that. I put it up there hundreds of thousands of years ago. You know? I don't know if you know this or not, but God is an ass man.
Yeah, okay. Clearly.
Honest to God, that feels like the first genuine laugh at my own joke that I've had in about 2 weeks. I don't care. I'm glad he's gone. I don't give a shit.
Should have gone decades ago, but good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've had enough, and I don't care for more. And now he's dead. We'll see whether or not. He's got 4 kids, 24 grandkids, 24 great-grandkids. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, get off her. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I have some noise in my voice, you little shits? God, I hate those two. So one of the funny things is that, Pat Robertson died, 93 years old. Robert Pattinson's name is what started flooding Twitter in the aftermath. Christian Broadcast Network revealed that Robertson passed away at home earlier, June 8th, surrounded by family. As we said, there were certainly enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so one Twitter user said that my dyslexic ass thought this said Robert Pattinson. I got another one from Connor Franta that said this tweet should be a dyslexia test. I'm still convinced it says Robert Pattinson.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It was a cute little story.
Just a moment of everyone having their dyslexia kick in.
Caleb Miller, Twitter thinking Robert Pattinson died when it was actually Pat Robertson is sending me through the roof. Skylar Cat Burglar says Robert Pattinson trending because Pat Robertson died as a classic Twitter. Shelby says it's so funny that Robert Pattinson is trending because Pat Robertson died and none of us can fucking read.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Norton's right honker said, meanwhile, Robert Pattinson, healthy, wealthy, an ally, and knows a thing or two about 9/11.
No.
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know. That was just pretty funny. That one cracked me up. As you can tell this week, I am not concerned about time. Let's see. Fox News.
I just like the one with the photo of Pat Robertson. It says evil Robert Pattinson. That's funny. Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's the Robert Pattinson of the Mirror Universe there.
There's a documentary on Netflix about golf that I cannot for the life of me remember the name of right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it explains how the PGA, you know, was fighting against LIV. And it was really good. It made a very compelling case. You know, a PGA guy, always have been. Don't much care for LIV, giving us how they're coming out of money from Saudi Arabia that is so dirty. Even I'd think twice before taking it.
Right.
You know. But this week.
That wouldn't be a long 2 moments before you just accepted the money, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to. And then I'd find a way to subvert it, but. Hang on, I'm doing a quick. LIV, PGA, merger. Here we go. So PGA Tour is saying that the deal they've made with LIV Golf is not a merger. Basically, if you were a PGA Tour player and you went over to play for LIV, the PGA was like, that's it. You're done. You don't get to come back. We've had enough. You know? But it looks like now, not so much. The PGA
somebody,
Tour.
Somebody explained how capitalism works to the PGA.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Well, you know, I mean, if the player's popular, why wouldn't we want them back if they're coming back from LIV, you know?
Well, honestly, because they were trying to take a moral stand. And they did it for a couple of years. They took a moral stand, and I was actually very impressed. Surprised and impressed.
That is surprising that they took a moral stand like that.
Yeah.
Because they normally wouldn't. Yeah.
Well, so LIV Golf's Brian DeChambeau spoke about the historic merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudi public investment firm, PIF. And the DP World Tour that was announced on Tuesday, and then made a very interesting suggestion regarding the PIF. Since its inception, LIV Golf has been controversial, and not just because of its goal of rivaling the biggest professional golf tour on the planet. Being backed by the PIF has created a large debate over their funding of terrorism before and after the 9/11 attacks on the United States. During the interview this week following the merger, DeChambeau was asked about what he would say to those families who were devastated by the 9/11 attacks and losing loved ones. Quote, I think we'll never be able to repay families back for exactly what happened just over 20 years ago, and what happened is definitely horrible. This is DeChambeau. I think that as time has gone on, 20 years has passed, we're in a place now where it's time to start trying to work together to make things better as a whole. Okay. This sounds like it's about to get problematic. Quote, I don't know exactly what they're feeling. I can't ever know what they feel, but I have a huge amount of respect for their position and what they believe. Nor do I ever want anything like that to happen again. I think as we move forward from that, we have to look toward a pathway to peace and forgiveness, especially if we're trying to mend the world and make it a better place. I think this is what they're trying to accomplish. LIV is trying to accomplish. PIF is trying to accomplish. We're all trying to accomplish is a better world for everybody with entertainment for everybody around the world. 9/11 Families United chairsperson Terry Strada called out the PGA Tour commissioner Jay Monahan earlier this week for using their stories to, quote, malign LIV Golf, end quote, over its ties to PIF. Strada spoke on America's Newsroom where she said she was shocked to learn about the merger. Well, me too, kid. I'm disappointed, she said. This was a real gut punch to wake up to yesterday and read these headlines. It's unfortunate what has happened and something I can't necessarily speak on. I'm a golfer, DeChambeau added. What I can say is that what we're trying to do, what they're trying to work on, is be better allies because we are allies with them. I'm not going to get into politics. I'm not specialized in that. What I can say is they're trying to do good for the world and showcase themselves in a light. No. No. Here's the deal. There's a pretty level playing field for getting into golf, and that is money. Okay?
Yes.
Anybody at this particular point, with the exception of a handful of country clubs that really just should go away, can golf. You can pick up clubs. That costs money. Go to a golf course. That costs money. And golf. Balls cost money. But aside from that, that's anybody can work hard, buy clubs, go play golf for the most part, right? What Liv does is it comes in, it cherry picks off the exciting players, puts them into tournaments that cost 15, 20 times more than the already overpriced tickets to PGA tournaments cost. Basically, less and less people, you know, can go and watch, can participate, and then so that gets rid of the other golfers that make things exciting. You have fewer tournaments; those tournaments have fewer rounds. It just makes everything unpalatable. Just no fun. And penalizes golf courses. And this is, I mean, I never would have thought this had I not spent time in Minnesota, where farmers that are trying to make a little extra cash will turn little parts of their farms into little three-par executive courses and stuff like that, just to get a little extra money in, and how much they love the game and all of that. And this is the kind of thing that puts guys like that out of business. It makes it unobtainable. You know, it puts that dream further and further away from just normal folks. And so I'm against it. You know? And here I've got the guy, money fronting for the Saudis, saying, hey, it was 20 years ago. Just get over it. The 9/11 thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I get it for the money purposes, but in the end, it's like... No, that was, my mind also wants to say, well, that was only 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've never been not a problem since then.
They just killed Khashoggi like 15 minutes ago.
Exactly. It's like, why would we, and they just gave money to fucking Donald Trump's son-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, a couple billion to his
son-in-law.
$2 billion
to Kushner.
Yeah. It's like, no, they're a problem, and they will remain a problem.
Yep.
And as long as their actions say one thing, I don't care what their you know, happy, glad hand says on the other end. Yeah.
It's nuts.
On the other hand, I also disagree with, you know, the idea that, hey, if a popular player is willing to come back, let him come back.
I don't. They were told not to.
Mm.
You know? They were like, hey, guys, here's the deal. You can play for the PGA or you can play for LIV, but you can't play for both. And these guys went, all right, we're going to go play for the new guy because he's offering more money.
He's got a lot more money. Yeah.
And now a lot of them are finding the culture toxic. They don't like it. They don't like the anything. And they're like, we want to come back.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? You're rich. Go start your own tour.
Create your own tour. Open, you know, retire and open a golf course or something. Don't, yeah.
Yep.
You're done.
Yep. The Batman logo has been deemed distinctive enough by the Court of Justice of the European Union to keep rogue Italian retailers at bay. This isn't a bad article, to be honest. The Joker couldn't beat him. Two-Face and Poison Ivy gave it a good go and stumbled. Even the back-breaking Bane fell short. And now an Italian clothing retailer joins the disappointed rogues gallery, having failed to beat Batman in a trademark fight. DC Comics Batman has won a trademark bat tie with an Italian clothing retailer after Europe's second top court sided with EU Patent Office, ruling that the Batman logo is distinctive enough to warrant the trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, somebody stole the Batman's fucking logo and started putting it on clothes and selling them, and DC went, excuse me, no.
No.
So they all went to court, and everybody's like, dude, it's Batman, you fucking idiot.
People don't always, you know, associate that symbol with Batman. Who? People who've never heard of Batman? I mean, come on.
Yeah, pretty much, seems like. All right. Okay, again, apologies for low energy this week, you guys. I got a lot kicking my ass right now that I'm trying to work through. But, I mean, nobody wants to hear me whine about it. But basically, a few years ago, I went through, not quite like this, but I went through a little bit of a spell and took time off of the podcast to deal with issues in my life. Mm-hmm. And so that meant of let's say, 4 opportunities a month to podcast, we were doing 1 or 2 just because yeah. I was underwater, I was overwhelmed, there was too much going on, etc. And we lost 70, almost 80% of our audience. Mm-hmm. By me taking care of me, which is why you guys are at the end of having listened to a pretty half-assed fucking effort on my part today. You know, good energy today, John. Thank you for keeping everybody's head up.
And this is the tougher one for me to do. Like, yeah. I have more energy doing the comic book podcast because I'm hosting that and I have to keep the energy up. But I do that first. And then I come to this and I'm like, by the end of our hour, I'm like, yeah, that's a good story. Yeah.
Yeah, it just does, man. This kind of shit just sucks the life out of you sometimes.
It's so funny that we're sitting on our ass talking, but it can drain you after a while because you have to be on for the whole time.
And Las Vegas kind of way.
Not in the Las Vegas kind of way, no.
Yeah.
But No, I get it. And I agree that, you know, when you have taken time off, we've lost audience. And yet, at the same time, you need to take time off and get your head on straight again. So,
well, that's it. Didn't we take time off last week, or was that the week before?
That was the week before.
Okay. I mean,
and you have a choice for next week because I won't be around. So
yeah, it's a good point. Yeah. So anyway, if you are unsatisfied by the free show you've been given, I apologize.
Sorry that the free content isn't living up to its muster this week. We will do better next time.
They can't all be 100%.
Nope.
I did my best. With that said, I'm going to go do my best in Patreon right now. We do Patreon at the end of every week that we record over at patreon.com/dfenmedia, DEFEN Media. We'd hope that you would join us over there. We got some funny, weird fucking stories this week.
Yeah, this is where the fun news is. It's over here on Patreon. So you should join us over here and check out the fun news. Yeah.
Yep. News of consequence, but usually news of consequences.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. With that said, Taylor, hope you're having fun wherever you are. We miss you this week. I should be putting out a Substack this week. Finally. I've got 4 really long ones that are unfinished in the editing hopper where I just keep losing the thread, including one that's an open letter to George Soros that I just cannot find the will to finish. So instead, what I'll do this week is just break down, for those of you that give a shit, and if you don't give a shit, don't worry about it, but it's, I think it's, what is my Substack? Let me find out. Hang on a sec. I should remember this. Oh, it's jmbell.substack.com.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Anyway, join us over there this week. I'll put something up here in the next couple of days. Okay? All right. In the meantime, thank you for your help today, sir.
Always.
And let's do what the British lady said.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFEN Media. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.